by the new and living way.
Welcome to another time of abundant entrance into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, by the new and living way, consecrated for us into the life within the veil. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith as we hear the word of righteousness with God's servant.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, sir. Good morning, ma. This is lesson 3 in our study of how to be led by the Spirit of God. And the topic for today's lesson is pitfalls to look out for in order to avoid falling into a ditch while being led by the Spirit of God. Let's say amen. Amen. That we're considering pitfalls, ditches, that one who is not careful or who's not been properly guided in God's things, or even if they've been properly taught or guided, but they've not given diligent attention to the issue of, you know, how to properly appropriate and judge leadings, we're considering pitfalls to avoid so as not to, you know, make mistakes, you know, with regards to the issue of being led by the Spirit of God. Very quickly, I'd like to read our memory track. In our last lesson, we found grace to look at the issue of being led by the Spirit of God from the perspective of the soul salvation message in a measure, as is found in the New Testament. This does not in any way mean or suggest there is a different leading for those who hear and walk in the light of the soul salvation message. Let's say amen. I'm sure you understand what that means. You know, somebody might be like, okay, we taught how to be led by the Spirit of God, you know, from the point of view or with the mind of the soul salvation message. So it's a quick thought can just come to one's heart. Okay, there is a different way the Lord leads people who are being led, you know, who are following the so great salvation, the salvation that saves the soul. That is there a different way the Lord leads them that is different from how the Lord leads other believers? 1,000 times no. You know, it's the same Spirit of God. It's the same leading. The difference is that the Lord, on the basis of the pasture or the doctrine of salvation, leads us, you know, on how to maximize our Christian walk in the light of the emphasis or the teaching or the doctrine that we hear. For those who all they know is milk, the Lord leads them on how to properly use the milk for life, appropriate the milk of the word for their life. Let's say amen. I can also add to it, there are some of believers that, you know, sorry to say, hold on to error, hold on to heresy. Now, the Spirit of God must have checked them. Some of them, they might not know how to pick that this is the Lord talking to me. Spirit of God must have put witnesses in their spirit. But somehow, they still got muddled up with error, heresy. You know, in the midst of that error, because I've been in error before, the Spirit of God still strives to see how he can help them maximize their Christian faith with an intent of bringing them out. The truth is that the Lord is not us. Whether it's God the Father, the Son, or the Holy Ghost, they don't give up on their creation, the new creation. They would, even when people are in error, or when, for example, we are people who hold some doctrines, let me make reference to one, not for being critical sake, fall down and die. Doctrine of devils. You understand? You know, like Daddy was saying during the Canada convention, you understand? You know, a particular man, he said, Reverend Paul Ginodo, Reverend made reference to, that he read in the 80s, who got born again in, I think, 1942 or so, is in 1950 something, he got born again. He said he's older than Baba Adeboye. And he's an Agagite. So when he got born again into the truths that are doctrines of, you know, devils. So one day, so when they come for their service, he was a minister. They bind devils, bind evil spirits, cast them out. They come the next service, they bind devils, bind evil spirits, cast them out. So one day he saw a vision that he said. And in that vision, he saw that the Lord showed him as they were starting service. He saw that demons were coming into the service. And he told the, you know, he was telling the Lord, because the Lord was the one showing him that, and we've cast these people out, or these evil spirits, we've cast them out. We cast them out every service, and they are still this much here. Then Jesus told him, he said, you cast them out. You understand? He said, you are the one who actually invite them. So they come to be part of the celebration, to be cast out. Now, it was help. Why you might not call that expressly? You know, the Lord wasn't saying stop doing something. But by that experience, the Lord was showing him that what he was doing was wrong. The doctrine was not sound. The doctrine is what Paul called doctrine that emphasizes devils, or doctrine of devils. But yet the Lord was still with him, and the Lord wouldn't leave his people without a witness. Some people are like that. The Lord will still lead them on who to marry. The Lord will still lead them on, you know, what job to do, with the intent of upgrading their judgment. Let's say amen. So the same Holy Spirit in every place, in all churches, leading us. Even those of us who are hearing, for example, Christ, we still don't have all the fullness of the accurate doctrine. So he will still lead us with an intent to upgrade our judgment. Let's say amen. From our manual, rather, it simply means looking at the subject of how to be led by the Spirit of God with the eye of the word of righteousness. And we give praise to God for that. Let's say amen. To this lesson, introduction. In our study today, we are, by God's grace, looking at how to avoid falling into ditches that are along the path of believers who have taken the adventure of being led by the Spirit of God. This also does not in any way suggest that there are pitfalls in the path that the Spirit of God leads us through, or that there are pitfalls in the path of God itself. Let's say amen. You know, in Psalms 25, he said, all the paths of the Lord, he said, they drop fatness. So the paths of God, which are truths, the way of God, which are doctrine, they don't have pitfalls in themselves. Let's say amen. Everybody's not saying amen. Amen. Thank you. The way of God, they don't have pitfalls. But because of our human, unsaved nature, even when we are given things that are complete, that are good, that are accurate, somehow, we still, don't make the best out of it. So, you know, this particular statement is not inferring that the path of, you know, of the Spirit has pitfalls. No, it is human nature. It is our unsaved nature that makes us take the things of God and drag it to the extreme. And folks have been known, people have been known, human beings have been known to take everything to the extreme. You hear some people, for example, who drink 7 bottles of Coke. I've heard Mommy Ellen talk about one of our friends that drinks so much Coke. I've also known people, we understand, you know, something that is good, they overdo it. You see some people, grown-ups, you understand, you know, eat 6 times, 7 times, big meals a day. There's nothing wrong with eating, but everything is wrong. Even when you see one of their meal, one, you understand, is equal to your 3. You understand? And they eat it. And for them, you know, that's how they eat. Some people, no health condition as it were, all things being equal, until they become obese. One particular woman came to Kenneth Hagin and told Kenneth Hagin, he said, I have a demon of eating. He said, please cast the demon out. Kenneth Hagin said, I'm not going to cast anything out. He said, go and do something about your mouth. He said, the problem is your mouth. He said, you are the one eating. The woman said, no, there is something inside of me that likes to eat. Yeah, that's I said, cast it out. And I think he said, you are the one that will do something about it. So is eating wrong? No. Now, for example, you understand, some people belong, you know, to churches where they don't believe in hearing, they don't believe in trouser, you understand, based on what they are convinced about. And the Lord deals with them and loves them. Let's say amen. You now find some people who probably used to be in such churches. They now come to churches wherein truth is elevated. And they now find, they now see from God's word that, hearing is not bad. Trouser is not bad. Lipstick is not bad. Then they overdo it. By the time they are entering church, you understand, Pastor TJ said masquerade, Pastor TJ. By the time they are entering church, a brother finds it so uncomfortable to sit beside them. Now somebody will say, I have liberty to wear what I want. True. But there is a let your moderation be known unto all. So you can find, in the same way you find, you know, humans take natural things to extremes. They take it out of the boundary of moderation, out of the boundary of sanity. In the same way, people take spiritual things also out of the boundary of moderation. For example, let me give you one, then I move forward. We find people who believe it's a doctrine, and that one is spreading like wildfire from the north of Nigeria. It's catching different parts of the body, you understand, in prayers. They believe you can pray 16 hours every day. Now, is there anything wrong with praying? No. As a matter of fact, we've not prayed enough. But that teaching itself, they will say you pray until Jesus appears. Yes, I'm not saying, not hearsay. I've heard ministers who teach it. And the ministers will brag that they can actually pray and Jesus would appear. They will tell you they've done it many times with witnesses. Now, I can assure you it's not Jesus that appeared. They've used bread to eat their stew. You know, your Bible call it, once if it's bread, koelobeje. But some is foam, not even bread. It soaks, absorbs everything. Now, there is nowhere, that's excess. Pray without ceasing. You understand? You know, pray always. Brethren, I say again, pray. You understand? Or, you know, that's commandment. But to now say you pray until Jesus appears. You understand? You know, is excess. And those excesses, now somebody can see somebody who did that, who understands doctrine, and be like, you see, that's the reason I don't like to pray too much. That's the reason why I don't like to pray too much. Now, there's nothing wrong with praying always, because the word of God says to do so. But when it is taken out of the boundary, the confines of sanity, which sometimes even in your spirit you will know. Some people will just declare, they'll say 21 days prayer and fasting. And they are students in school and they won't go to class. Then you know they are taking it. So anything from natural things to spiritual things can be taken out of the boundary. So Paul said, he said, let your moderation. There is a need for sense of moderation. Oh, I want to go to, maybe I want to go out. Then I stand before my wardrobe, like I said last week, and you begin to pray so that the Spirit of God will tell you what to wear. You understand? You are not being moderate. And when we are not moderate, we can fall into the ditch on the right side, Baba Egin of blessed memory, we said, or on the left side. It is best to always stay in the middle of the road. And the middle of the road is to stay on God's word. And if for adventure you don't understand what the middle of the road is on the matter, talk to daddy, talk to pastors. Let's say amen. Reading from our manual. Rather, this means that because of our limited and unsaved human nature that still exists in our souls, we are prone to and can still make mistakes, even in responding to the leading of the Spirit of God. This is because we still have tendencies of going into excesses and extremes on the subject of the leading of the Spirit of God. Praise the Lord. Now, common ditches that face believers in and around the subject of the leading of the Spirit. Can we say it together? Common ditches, common pitfalls that face believers in and around the subject of the leading of the Spirit. And below are some of them. Number one, seeking spectacular guidances. Everybody say seeking spectacular guidances. Now, let me read from my manual, then I explain some. What are spectacular guidances? Spectacular guidance are leadings and directions given by the manifestational gifts of the Holy Ghost. Put another way, spectacular guidance or guidances are guidances given by the Holy Spirit of God through any of the nine gifts of the Spirit mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 from verses 7 to 11. Let's say amen. That one of the mistakes, one of the areas that you find believers making mistakes is seeking spectacular guidance. You just want something out of the ordinary from the Lord with regards to you being led. Now, it's good to, I know all of us, I've been there before. I remember years ago, we're still in Vokes then, we're still in Vokes now, but we're still in all in Vokes then. And that was season of the Spirit of that particular year, 2013, I won't forget. You know, a lot of, trouble in my small life. The trouble was too much. Somebody walked up to me one time. He said, he discovers that, I don't have issue. When they say, brethren, this brethren is going through this, this brethren is going through that. I discovered I don't have. I looked at the person and I laughed like Lala in Lion King. Ha, ha, ha. That's the way Lala laughed. When some of the other lions came to confront her, you say, I laugh in the face of danger. Ha, ha, ha. So I laughed. I said, because you don't know half of the matter. Because there are troubles, almost every time trouble. So this person, at that time, Pastor Tayo Ladejo was coming to church to minister. And I began praying, Lord, even though I have a witness in my spirit as to what the Lord was saying and how I should carry myself, I just wanted something out of the norm. If anybody walked up to me at that time and gave me a tongues and interpretation, it would make so much sense. But the Lord has spoken to me in my spirit. Just a witness, not necessarily a word, a knowing. But I wanted more. So I remember I prayed. Everybody should hear it. I prayed. I said, God, move Pastor Tayo. You know the way we used to sit in Vokes, on this side, pastor will sit, then we younger pastors will sit at the back. So I was there. I prayed before I left home. I said, just move him. Just one word. Just one word. One word. And I was there, keen, serious. Pastor Taya ministered from the beginning to the end, went to sit down, no word. Yeah, I felt disappointed, you understand? But I learned a lesson, which, is obvious, that, we don't put a demand on God. Of course, the Lord is compassionate, you understand? I remember, God's servant, Reverend Kenneth Hagin, in 1988 camp meeting, for some of us who've listened, such as I have, that tape. He said he was praying to God. No, 1987. He was praying to God that the Lord would give him something new. Camp meeting. Something new. He said, not new outside the word, but something new. He said he just wanted something new. And it's 1988. And what would the Lord tell him? Such as you have, preach. Nothing new. Even though angels came into the meeting, but the Lord dragged him back to what he had. And he said, what did he have? Faith. The word of faith. So sometimes, humanly speaking, we can be boxed up wherein we seek spectacular guidances. But it's not right. Let's say amen. Now, one thing with spectacular guidances is the Lord's sovereignty that determines whether he wants to give us spectacular guidance. Really, we don't know what the Lord is working in our lives. There are many sides to our lives. Sometimes the kind of soul we have individually determines how the Lord deals with us. You find some people like that. Egu Chukwu explained some weeks ago, community service. You find a particular sister who is praying proper, doesn't give pastor a trouble, and the Spirit of God might never come on her to give a tongue in church. Now you find another sister who might not be as prim and proper as her, and the Spirit of God comes on her. It's because of their kind of soul. It's because of their soul type. Let's say amen. Sometimes maybe for the sake of the kind of soul you have, the Lord doesn't want to bring spectacular around you. And it is more powerful if the Lord chooses not to bring spectacular, but just puts you on the voyage of believing scriptures, believe revelation, inward witness, inward voice. If that's all he does, he's actually dealing with you on a greater currency, but it's really, really not easy for our flesh. Let's say amen. We all need something like that, spectacular, once in a while. Say, yeah, the Lord, you are moving glory. You are glory in glory. You understand? Glory in glory. We all like that. Let's say amen. But it's good to now know, you understand, you know, the balance around it. So let's read some scriptures, you know, to that effect. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11. A very profound, you know, scriptures. Now, all spectacular manifestations of the Spirit are wrought through the nine gifts of the Spirit. Can we say it together? Can you say all spectacular manifestations of the Holy Spirit are wrought through any of the nine gifts of the Spirit? Now, if you are an Agenite and you've listened some to Agen, you would have come to know. Kenneth Agen will tell you that there is nothing the Lord wants to do manifestation-wise that is outside of the nine gifts of the Spirit. Why some people easily get deceived, particularly with spectacular, is that they don't understand the gifts of the Spirit and how you can also use the gifts of the Spirit to judge spectacular. Because really, the nine gifts of the Spirit, they have a boundary of operation. And you can actually measure when something seems spectacular. You can measure whether it is the Lord that is working it. Of course, there is manifestation and there is demonstration. There is manifestation, there is sign, there is wonder. But as per manifestation, spectacularly, it is within the boundary of the nine gifts of the Spirit. Three of them say something: tongues, diverse tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophecy. Three of them, reveal something: word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirit. Three of them do something: faith, you know, gifts of healing, working of miracles. Those are, you know, they are spectacular. They are loud. They are without. None of those nine gifts work with our spirits. None of those nine gifts of the Spirit. The gift of miracle doesn't work on your spirit. Prophecy doesn't work on your spirit. The most you can have is the Holy Spirit, who manifests those nine gifts, can be bearing witness in your spirit when those gifts are in operation. As a matter of fact, they are anointing gifts. They are without gifts they rest upon. If you've read, you know, the Spirit within and the Spirit upon, the person of the Holy Spirit, by his person, his anointing, is within, but those nine gifts are upon. So in reality, those nine gifts of the Spirit, anything that is spectacular that the Lord wants to do must be within the boundary of those nine gifts. Let's say amen. Then somebody, I feel somebody might ask, what is demonstration? Demonstration is actually the person of the Holy Spirit that is, you understand, behaving through a believer. It can be through a minister. It can be through a believer. Daddy taught these things that Egu Chukwu taught them years ago. Sometimes you find in our meetings, Kenneth Egan gave example of some. He said there was a particular time while he was ministering somewhere. He said a particular young lady, came to the platform and began prophesying. She was prophesying. She was walking on the platform. Kenneth Egan was in front. And she prophesied and she walked to the clip of the platform and continued walking in the air. She closed her eyes. She walked there. She walked back. She walked off the platform and she was walking in the air and came back. That's demonstration. The Spirit of God was demonstrating something. That is not healing. It is not miracle. It is not gift of faith. She closed her eye. She wasn't believing for it. She was closing her eye and prophesying. Didn't know when she walked off the cliff. She even didn't know. Everybody was, but she just kept walking to and fro. It's not tongues. It's not interpretation. It's not prophecy. It's not word of wisdom, word of knowledge. I mean, her walking off the platform. None of the nine gifts, but it was a demonstration. Maria Woodward Etta can stay hanging like this for 27 hours. She just stick like this. So you can try to stand for 3 hours, but she will stay like that. And while she's gone, she's, having all kinds of experiences. Now, that was a demonstration, but there were manifestations inside, seeing vision and all the rest. That one is the person of the Holy Ghost. It's not a manifestation. Now, somebody can say, God, for you to prove to me that this guy is my husband, let me freeze for 5 hours.
I imagine your angel will be to what intent? So what does that teach us? First, that is, you should buy a freezer. Praise the Lord. Hope you get the drift. Okay, praise God. Verse 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11. But all this, he mentioned all the gifts from verses 7 to 10 of 1 Corinthians 12, then verse 11. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame spirit, dividing to every man severally or as often as he will. So it's the Holy Spirit that, you know, determines when any of the nine gifts of the Spirit works. Let's say amen. Everybody say it's the Holy Spirit. I didn't hear you say it's the Holy Spirit. It's being said so that we'll place premium. You understand? Not neglecting spectacular when it occurs. He has the sovereignty. He can choose in a season of your life to bring so much spectacular. Some of us have had the privilege in a season of our life, it was like if it's only you heaven thinks of. Before you know, brah, angel is there. Before you know, brah, even there was a season of my life, even while I'm eating, I just want to talk, tongues will come out. Just seeing vision, and you know, you just feel special. You know, son of God. Even the way you greet people. And you say, these people don't know, I just came out of a raw encounter. Raw. As I am here, powers are moving all around me. Powers. You understand? Your angel is just there clapping for you. Say, do make grow up. Because later you find there are plenty things inside. Probably they are just trying to advertise the realm to you, to woo you in. Let's say amen. So he can choose the season of your life to do that. And he can choose to do it for 5 years of your life. He is the one who determines it. But it's not safe for you to put a demand that God, if you want me to marry this guy, let rain fall. I can assure you, evil spirit will just go and be scattering the... You just call guys, guy, be coming. Igbo Shere street. You stay it. You know, just the normal thing that should happen for rain to fall. They will scatter the place and before you know, rain will start coming down. And you just say, Kai, he has done it again. Your own angel will send the SOS to heaven. Save our soul. Praise God. So it is as the Holy Spirit wills. Let's say amen. Amen. Tell your neighbor, the gifts of the Spirit is as the Holy Spirit wills. Say it again to the person. The gift of the Spirit is as the Holy Spirit wills. Don't put a demand on it. You can say, God, on a matter, God, please lead me on this matter. Then wait for him to lead you the way he wants to lead you. The way he wants to lead you might just be a casual counsel from your pastor. Do it like this, don't do it like this. And that will suffice. The intent of that, of needing that direction will still have been met. Let's say amen. The truth is that God, through the Holy Ghost, does lead us in this manner. If he so wills. Let's say amen. Number two, under spectacular. All spectacular guidances are by the manifestational gifts of the Holy Ghost. Nine gifts of the Spirit. Spectacular guidances are beautiful. Let's say amen. And leave overwhelming tangible impressions on our souls. And sometimes on our senses, even our body. But as beautiful as it is, and has been with spectacular guidances, there is nowhere in scriptures where God promised to lead a believer by spectacular guidance in the New Testament. Nowhere where it's a promise that I would lead you spectacularly. But he definitely said he's going to lead us. But he didn't say it has to be spectacular. Let's say amen. I've heard of people who, you understand, you know, like the guy that wrote Francis and, you know, Mary Hunters. Is it Francis? Charles and Francis Hunters spoke of that Roland Barthes. You understand? He had an experience. Got caught up to heaven. His body was seated on the table. Out of body experience, went to heaven. While he was coming, he came with a sheet of paper from heaven. Entered his body, and the moment he opened his hand, that sheet of paper was visible, was in his hands for some time. You understand? Now, if that is the Lord chose to make that happen. That must have registered. He saw it in his hand. He held paper from heaven in his hand. You understand? As beautiful as it is, I can assure you, that must have left an impression. Not just on his spirit, not just on his soul, on his body, on God being true, on the realm of the spirit being true. He might say that as a testimony and somebody might desire it, that God do it. You understand? Then you might get into trouble. Let's say amen. The reason for this being said is so that we stay within the boundary of what the Lord has said he will do. Then if he chooses to go beyond and do spectacular guidances, we'll receive it with thanksgiving. Let's say amen. This is because we now have the same Holy Ghost that manifests the spectacular guidances by his gift living inside us. He bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Romans 8, 14 and 16. So the person of the Holy Spirit in that 1 Corinthians 12, 11, he said, all this worketh that one and selfsame spirit. So rather than put premium on the gifts, we should put premium on the person who is living in our spirit. Not on what his gifts will do as per leading. We can pray for his gifts in our midst as a people. But when he has to do with leading, we put premium on his person. To have good fellowship in the world, to have good fellowship with God, you understand? He would lead us and he will guide us. Let's say amen. Many believers have been misled and gotten into trouble, desiring to and seeking spectacular guidances from God. It is good to stress it that it is wrong and highly unscriptural to pray to God to lead a believer through spectacular means, because many have been misled in so doing. Praise the Lord. Below are some very specific spectacular guidances that believers generally seek to be led by or led through. Now, as funny as some of this might sound, some of us have done it before. And as funny as some of it might sound, there are people who are still doing it. Maybe they don't know better, like some of us didn't know better. But his mercy kept us. And we know his mercy is keeping other people who might be doing it. But the reason for the lesson, being led by the Lord through our daddy, is to make sure we trim gray areas, peradventure, you know, as per how we approach and our view of the leading of the Spirit as a people. Let's say amen. Number one, with regards to considering some spectacular means wherein the Spirit of God guides, is dream. A, dreams. According to scriptures, God by the Spirit does give dreams. Let's say amen. A dream is some type of vision seen in the mind while the recipient is asleep. Can you give me that scripture in Joel? I think it's Joel chapter 2, 28, I guess. Joel chapter 2, 28. Joel prophesying. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaidens in those days will I pour out my spirit. Now, the Spirit of God does give dreams. The Spirit of God does give visions. The Spirit of God does, you know, help, you know, cause to prophesy. I know some people back then would say it's old men that dream dreams. Young men see vision. That when you are young, you should have vision. He said when you are old, you begin to dream. That's not what this place is saying. That's been interpreted, you know, in that regard, but that's not what it's saying. You understand? So the Spirit of God, how many of us that are still young, that still dream, and is the Lord, you know, may I still dream? I don't know about you. You know, sometimes just form in church. I don't dream. Liar. Let me ask again. How many of you, now you see hand? Let me just leave it. Praise God. So, you know, the Spirit of God does give dreams. Let's say amen. And like we said, dreams, if you read in the book of Daniel, you read, you know, in some other prophets, you understand? Dream, the Spirit of God gives dream in, you know, Daniel called it, you understand? He had a dream upon his head, upon his pillow. The Spirit of God puts, you know, visions, as it were, you understand, in our sleep, particularly in the head. Everybody say in the head. Yes. You can tell it's like you're watching, you know, movie, or you're seeing short clip, as it were, is in the head. But while you are asleep, now that is dream. And the Holy Ghost doth give dreams. Now, you know, I remember years ago when we taught, you know, along this line, Daddy Eguchukwu said, Daddy said it. He said for a Christian to, you know, solely depend on dreams as the manner in which God leads them shows that that Christian, you understand, is not sensitive to a very, very high degree to the Spirit of God. Put another way, if all the way the Holy Spirit leads you is dream, by the time they check your last 50 leadings, 48 of them is dream, then it means you're dull of hearing. As per leading. Because, you understand, it's not the perfect way. It's not the primary way. The Lord came to Kenneth Hagin, you understand, and told him. He said, the number one way that his Spirit leads believers is through the inward witness. Now, you know, when Daddy said that, I know some people are like, you know, that means if God speaks to me by dream, that means I am low. No, that's not what Daddy said. That if that's all the way, now I used to know someone that was, you know, like, you know, a older friend to my mom, you know, many years ago. And she's a, you know, minister of the gospel. If you go tell her anything, anytime my mom and some of her friends who are close to her, they go and tell her anything, you know, based on that level of light, that they have this issue, they have that issue, she will tell them, and I heard her a number of times. She will say, no worry, I go pray. When I sleep, God will show me. I didn't make too much of it until I started reading again, that I now know that it's not a safe ground. You know why? Because many factors can affect your dream realm. Angels of God can give you dream. And that might. It's possible that's the way the Spirit of God said they should give you that thing they want to show you, as it were. The Spirit of God might, even if you are very sharp, the Spirit of God can say that's how he wants them to communicate that particular thing to you. Let's say amen. But in most cases, if that's your major way of hearing the Lord, it's possible that that angel has been following you around, trying to talk to you. You came for a meeting, and you understand, you know, when atmosphere is charged, you know, natural senses is doused, but yet you didn't hear. He's followed you for 2 weeks, and the time is going. So the best he can do is to come while you are sleeping. You know, I know that is a possibility. Even though I know angels give dreams, Gabriel gave dream to Joseph, the father, the presumed father of Jesus, 3 times. He came the first time, he said, marry Mary. Second time, some people want to kill the child. Run with the mother and child. Third time, those who want to kill the child, they are dead. Come back. And Bible says the 3 times he did it by dreams. So angels can give dreams. Then the Holy Ghost too can give dreams much more. He can give dreams to unbelievers. How much more believers? He can put that dream in our head. Let's say amen. Then demons. Everybody say demons. Evil spirits too can give dreams. It's an open realm, very porous. I remember years ago when my wife was pregnant for our first child, and all kinds of attack. She would just sleep in the night and wake up. It was Satan, you know, evil spirits. Those are part of, you know, pressure from everywhere. Then you now be dreaming bad dreams on top of it. You know, she would just wake up and tell me, she woke up, that's for Davida. She woke up and she saw that the child that she gave birth to died. And she kept dreaming that dream. Then she slept, she woke up. She said the child she gave birth to was one creature like that. The creature has head like bed. I'll be like, no, wow. You understand? You know, she would just, And the thing continued. So one day, me, I was just praying for something else in the parlor, and she was in the room. And the way where we're staying then, from the parlor, you can see the room. So, but me, and me, I like pacing when I'm walking. I pray better. So I was just praying and I was pacing. So one of those times, while I paced, I was praying. I just looked into the room and I saw a vision. I saw that the way she was lying on the bed, and I saw an evil spirit. I can describe it, but not necessary. Was where her head, let's assume she slept this way. Her head is here. The evil spirit was right where her head is and opened its mouth, and like rays of light was going into her head. So for some time, Daddy said, that's exactly how they do it. I mean, I saw it. So I passed first time. Maybe it was my mind. Too much movies. Sorry. That's many years ago. I mean, 9 years ago. I've changed. You know, so I was wondering. I passed again. I discovered about 3 times I passed, and the thing kept, I kept seeing it. Then I took authority and resisted it and rebuked it, and the thing disappeared. Not too long after that time, she just woke up. Whoa. She said she dreamt. I said, I know. I know. There is no way. I know this one. It's nothing good. Let me hear it. And by the time she said it, it was in the class. So I now knew that guy was responsible for the bad, bad dreams. Now, there's somewhere in Isaiah 29, in one of the scriptures that is here about dreams. Can we read it? Isaiah chapter 29, verse 8. Let's say amen. Can we read verse 8 together? Isaiah chapter 9, verse 8 together. 1, 2, go. But you know the part I'm looking for. That hunger can induce your dream. There is what is called typhoid dream. Malaria dream. Pastor TJ said COVID dream. I remember one time I had malaria. Guess the dream I dreamt. I dreamt that a rat was cutting my hair, was barbing my hair. You want that in barber? Well, it was a rat. Sharp. Snout like this, and it was just cutting my head, looking at the mirror, cutting my hair. I knew there was no need to bind. Malaria is at work. There was no need to bind any devil. It's malaria. Let's say amen. That's how porous the realm of dreams are. Now, some people might hear that, and some people have, you know, heard things like that. They now run out and be like, no, God cannot talk to me by dreams. No, 1,000 times no. The Lord has the sovereignty. And it does come to people by dreams, showing them things. Sometimes for some people, things that are important. Particularly, you find out with people who probably already, they are already very used to, it's like two extremes, like that, you know, in the Canada Convention. There is lamb, sheep, then on the throne is lamb. People who have used leading, inward witness, and they are just used to living by faith, by leading, unch. They know, knowing. For the Lord to really make some important things known to them, the Lord has to come to dream. Job 33. Let's turn our Bibles to Job 33 from verse 14. Job 33, 14 to 16. From verses 14 to 16. If you're there, say amen. Amen. For God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth it not. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon men, in slumberings upon the bed, then he openeth the ears of men and sealeth their instruction. Powerful. Now, that's, you know, a good balance. You know, while it's not safe for you to say, God, show me dream. And while it's a porous dimension, it's good to know that the Lord, like, you know, I've seen that the ego came. You understand? That he will tell you, you understand, that Egin came to him. He saw Baba Egin in the dream. Mommy Ellen will tell you, you understand that, you know, she had a dream. You know, some, you know, in closet, she will tell you she had a dream, you understand. She saw this, and that she does not necessarily dream like that, but she dreamt this, and she dreamt this. Like that Ego Chiku said some weeks ago, that, you know, when the Lord shows him things in the dream, it's because the thing is important. Let's say amen. So for those who use leading of the Spirit, sometimes to show how important a matter is, the Lord does come to them and shows them dream. He also did it for Paul in the book of, you know, we can read that, you know, later. We'll read it later. We'll get there, you know, later in our study. Not necessarily dream. Not dream. Let's say amen. But I hope you get it. God did not only give dreams through the Spirit in the Old Testament. He also did in the New Testament. Acts 2 verse 17. Now somebody might say, okay, those scriptures that I read, and maybe it's Old Testament, you understand, you know, that, you know, in the New Testament, you know, that's part of excess, that, you know, the Spirit of God does not do such things. But Peter speaking in the New Testament in Acts chapter 2, quoting Joel, but this is that, verse 16, which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions. And your old men shall dream dreams. Now this is in the New Testament, that the Spirit of God still gives dreams. In the book of Jude, you know, Jude spoke about those, some people, he called them, you understand, filthy dreamers. Meaning they had wrong dreams. But by implication, it also shows that there are right dreams. So the Spirit of God doth give dreams. But we should know that as good and beautiful as it is, it's not something we should seek. We should allow the Lord choose how he wants and does lead. Let's say amen. Number two, visions. Everybody say visions. This is another spectacular way the Lord leads. According to scriptures, there are three levels of visions. And they are, one, spiritual vision. This is the lowest type of vision. Let's say amen. It is seen with the eye of our spirit, mostly when our spirit is engaged in spiritual activities. That is, if you've read God's Servant's book, I Believe in Visions, by Reverend Kenneth E. Hagin of blessed memory, the Lord came to him and taught him about three types of visions. And the lowest type is called spiritual vision. Why is it called spiritual vision? It is the vision that your spirit sees. And that occurs many times, maybe when prayers are going on. You know, most times we don't even know that is a vision. It looks like your thoughts, but it's your spirit. It's a flash. You just see a vision. Maybe through worship. You know, it occurs many times when your spirit is being exercised. Prayers. Worship. You understand? You know, that your spirit just, you understand, the Spirit of God just, you know, paints things. It's always a vision. Things you see. You might hear in it, but chiefly, it's things you see. And it's your vision, your spirit that sees that vision. So God's servant, Reverend Kenneth E. Hagin, was taught by the Lord that it's the lowest type of vision. Let's say amen. The next one that is higher than it is called trance. It is the second highest type of vision. It is seen by the soul and the spirit while our body is suspended by the Holy Ghost. Let's say amen. This is higher than spiritual vision. You know, Peter had this kind of experience in the book of Acts chapter 10, while he was fasting, waiting for food to be made ready. In the book of Acts chapter 10, he saw a cat come down that had all manners of animals, clean and unclean, and they told him, kill and eat. So trance is your spirit, or my spirit and soul together, seeing a vision. Let's say amen. Trance has a greater anointing that comes with it. Trance, while spiritual vision is a short, just very short, sometimes in a nanosecond. Trance is like short clip. It's like you just, some people, is when they doze off, they just discover they see a trance. For some people, like Kenneth Hagin, he had an experience in 1962 or thereabouts, you know, he just felt, the Lord gave him a vision, and he interpreted it. Then later, while he was ministering on the pulpit, the Spirit of God convicted him that the interpretation he put on that vision was wrong. So while he was repenting and crying, knelt down and was crying on the pulpit, people were watching him, that he put a wrong interpretation. Very kind of peculiar art. You misinterpret, then we reinterpret it now. Why cry? I'm a human being. You know, but he was crying. And while he was, you know, telling the Lord he's sorry because he put wrong interpretation, he said a wind just blew from his back and hit him, and he fell down flat. He said if you had hit him with a baseball bat, he wouldn't have passed out the way he passed out. So his body fell over. Then his spirit and soul, you know, broke into that vision. That's a trance. They call it trance because it's spirit and soul. It's like transport, something that transnational. It's between your spirit and your soul. It's not just your spirit. Neither is it just your soul. Your soul alone, according to scriptures, does not just see any vision. The best thing they do to your mind is when it dreams. But if it has to do with vision, it has to be your spirit and your soul. And that is called trance. Short clip. They show you things. Let's say amen. It has a greater anointing. And most times it's implored when the Spirit of God wants to show something that has greater importance than just what he would have shown when it is trance. Let's say amen. Then open vision. Let's say open vision. Everybody didn't say it. Let's say open vision. This is the highest type of vision. It is seen by our spirit, soul, and body at once. Let's say amen. The three aspects of us are made to see a that vision at once. Now, you need greater anointing. Some believers might never experience an open vision because they understand it's most time for something that is very, very important. Either in the life of the person who's seeing it, or you understand, you know, for a minister, for example, for the work. Because spirit, soul, body are united by that anointing, and the person is enabled to see into the realm of the spirit. For example, an open vision can be like you are here. You can be in service. Open vision occurs. While a baby can be beside you, they are cleaning the baby's poo-poo, and the baby is crying. And you are hearing somebody talking. You understand? Can you help me pick my phone? You are hearing everything that is happening around. And you are hearing rain falling outside. At that same time, you are seeing into the realm of the spirit and hearing everything that is happening. At the same time, you are in two worlds. You are not suspended physically. Your senses are actively participating in the physical world and at the same time actively participating in the realm of the spirit. It takes a lot of anointing. It's like they take your body, while it is still here, they pushed it into the realm of the spirit. So for a temporarily, while that anointing is at work, they moved you into the realm of the spirit. That's a very, very, very high anointing, you know, that makes that happen. Let's say amen. The anointing does not only rest on your spirit and soul, it rests on your body. If it is your spiritual vision, only on your spirit. If it is trance, on your spirit and soul. Open vision, spirit, soul, body is anointed to be pushed into the realm of the spirit. Let's say amen. Now, the Lord can use that to lead. But when he does so, it's because he chose to. We should not seek it. But it's beautiful when the Lord chooses to manifest in that regard. Let's say amen. Prophecy, tongues, and interpretation. I will not say much about that because as a people, you understand, you know, over and over, you know, things are taught in that regard to make sure. So let me just read it. These utterance gifts are tools that the Spirit has used to give direction and or guidance to God's people throughout Bible times till now. You know, while it is the Spirit of God has the liberty, you understand, to lead us you understand, to manifest tongues and interpretation if he wants to choose to lead us by it. We should not stay there, you know. Let me say some things around it. Maybe you feel you need direction concerning something. Then you go to pray with the intent that while you are praying, words will come. You might fall into error. I mean, it's different from you just go to pray. You know, you pray, you know, you're understanding in the spirit, Father, help me with this, and you leave it, let him answer. It's different from where you are praying. You want something to come. You can call it that you are stirring your spirit for direction. You are poking, that is said, into your spirit. God's servant, Reverend Kenneth E. Hagin of blessed memory said, he said, you know, for, you know, he said, when there is no anointing, when there is no push, that extra push of the Spirit of God from your spirit, he said, even if words come out, don't take it. You know, there can be residue of words. Spiritual things are one kind. And we need a lot of meekness and a lot of, you know, proving not to make mistakes, particularly around utterance gifts. Sometimes you might be surprised. Maybe a particular emphasis lingers. Maybe Michael. You understand? Now that emphasis can be so much. You think I'm sit. The anointing for that thing can sit over you. And maybe you go to pray, and while you are praying, you say, Michael. It might not necessarily mean that the Lord is specifically saying something about Michael to you at that time. It's a collective grace. Pastor Tide say echo, which is possible. You understand? You know, in the spirit. So you understand? If you know you don't go to pray. Or maybe four people, five people, you understand? You don't stand in the prophetic office. You know, you see some things our parents do. Don't do it. You just say, you understand? You know, they say, let us gather together. When they were in Acts chapter 3, chapter 13, the prophets and teachers, certain prophets and teachers, they gathered, and the Spirit of God, while they worshiped, the Spirit of God spoke. Are you a prophet? Now, I'm being frank. You know, you do it, then something comes. Many people have been misled. Me that is talking, I've been misled like that years ago. You know, one reason why I'm careful, and I'm not saying it to discourage any person, around gift of the Spirit, so I have made mistakes. It doesn't thrill me. Part of the last things I like to do is to interpret tongues. The last things. So if I have my way, I'll make sure every other person interprets Pastor TJ. And I don't interpret. Because I made mistakes. I've interpreted tongues that turned mother against child years ago. Out of zeal and zest, not knowing the modus operandi of how the thing works. I've interpreted tongues that almost ruined my own, you understand, you know, walk with God. And, you know, when the Lord began to help me, you understand, to get things straight around interpretation of tongues, till now, one of the tongues I run away from is personal tongues. You know, when they are praying for people personally, I do my best to dodge it. Doesn't mean that, you know, God has helped me under that Diego Chukwu accuracy in a measure. But still, I like to stay away from personal prophecy. Let's just prophesy around the world and grow. You understand? But you see that personal thing? Because I've caused harm to people. So it's good to know, you understand? That particular gift is a gift we want us to be, you understand, approach with humility. Let's say amen. Amen. Everybody, the answer. Let's say amen. Amen. Don't be angry with me. You understand? Under that, the Egu Chukwu Amomililian, I feel I should say that. You understand? Because I won't call names. Recently, just this year, you know, dash called me, one of the leadership in the work, and told me that reports kept coming to them that some of the, you know, young folks, you know, around the work, you understand, were, you know, taking the issue of angelic visitation out of bound. That any small thing now is one of the leaders, one of the high echelon of the work. Any small thing, they say, we just gather, you say, you know, Michael is here. Michael, that's not even before convention, that's early in the year. Michael is here, you understand? Birthday celebration, Michael is here. Then the person told me, that our leader told me, he said, do they know, he said, do they even know what, that those are high ministering spirits. Then the person said that the fact that it happens to daddy doesn't mean he can't come to your meeting, but it's authority. You don't have that authority. I mean, you know, I've gone for meetings, many, many meetings, just once. Everybody say once. In the many years of going for meetings. And it was why Pastor Chubike, now who was CFI president, became UJCF president, that a tongue came that was around Michael. And when he came, I was scared. The tongue came because he came out, and that was it, ended. I didn't say anything about it. You understand? I just left it. You understand? So they were like, well, you know, I should look into it. You understand? And make sure that the thing is not, it doesn't look balanced. So you can give tongues, but no, it's not all tongues that you can give. You know, there are some things you even say. You understand? Anybody who has judgment will know you don't know your right from your left. Somebody will be like, well, no, it's not all tongues that can come out from your mouth. Just like there are things you can't interpret. Have I said something bad? There are things I can't interpret. Praise God. You know, the bottom line is a heart of meekness. At the end of the day, if you don't give it, somebody else will give it. And you'll be okay. And the person, so you understand, it's not about the tongue. It's about you just doing well. The art of meekness, the art of humility. Let's say amen. Okay, let me run away from there. Miracles, signs, and wonder. In the case of Gideon, who put forth a fleece, in Judges chapter 6, 26 to 40, the power gift of working of miracles was at play. Let's say amen. You all remember that story. How many of us have read that story? You know, where you find, you understand, he was telling, you know, the Lord, if this is to be this, then let the fleece be soaked while all the surroundings are dry. Then again, you know, if this be this, then let the fleece be dry while all the surroundings are wet. He was putting forth a fleece. And, you know, the Spirit of God granted it to give him direction. Now, why would the Lord do that? First of all, in their dispensation, they were not born again. Let's say amen. Amen. Everybody did not say amen. Amen. They were not born again. They were dead in their spirit. They don't have the Holy Spirit in their spirit. Like in our dispensation, wherein you have the Holy Spirit living in your spirit. So the Spirit of God needed to use external things to lead them. Praise God. In the book of Acts chapter 1, some people also make reference to that. You know, when they cast lots for to determine who would fill the office that Judas Iscariot left behind. Some people will tell you that, you know, we cast lots. Not safe. Now, Jesus Christ said they should tarry until the Holy Spirit will come. They were born again in Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 1, that occurrence occurred. And for them, they were high. They had one kind of high thing. And even that movement around them was highly prophetic. Check the things they did. They was prophesied by Psalms. They cast lots for, you know, Judas' bishopric because he lost it. So prophetic spirit was at work. So you understand, nobody can say, okay, because they cast lots, that means you can also cast lots to determine, you know, if the Lord would have, you understand, okay, there's this position in this department, you understand, we don't know, there are two, you know, brothers, you know, that can fill it, so let's cast lots, because it is in the Bible. You just take a dice, you are five, you are six, if we throw it, if five shows, that means it is you. You not only that, you, there's a tendency of you missing it, you can open the door for wrong spirit. Praise the Lord. He was so led, that is Gideon, because they were dead in their spirit. From where the Holy Ghost springs and should spring forth leading. In Hebrews 2 verse 4, God bore witness to the apostles with miracles, signs, and wonders. This witness is indicative of God's will and validation of what was being preached and done by the apostles. It's spectacular. If you see, we are talking about them, just explaining them. And at the end, we punctuate it with, you understand, we don't put the man and say, God, you must do this to do this. No, he leads us rather in our spirit. Let's say amen. Amen. It is good to quickly add from our manual that while God can and does lead through all or any of these spectacular means by the Holy Ghost, they are not the primary and surest way a believer in the New Testament is called to be led. As believers under the New Covenant, we are called to be primarily and chiefly led from within, i.e. our spirit. We are to be led by the anointing within, which we'll look at in our subsequent lessons. Let's say amen. Amen. Everybody, let's say amen.
Amen.
The last lap of our lesson, last but one. Another thing that we're looking at as some common ditches that believers fall in around the subject of the leading of the Spirit, the number two. All we treated was one and all the children of number one. This is number two. Not being spirit conscious. Can we say it together? Can we do it one more time? Thank you. To be spirit conscious here is to be more aware of our persons as new creation spirits that have the life and nature of God in our born again human spirit. Let's say amen. This is so sad because many believers are more soul conscious and many more are more body conscious. You know, in scriptures, scripture says, if any man, 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, there is a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. At the point of new birth, we have a new spirit. Now, if that is part of the milk of the word, is to teach, how that we are now new persons in our spirit. Why is that important? Because that's where leading emanates from. If you don't know that there is a new guy that you are on the inside, you might not maximize and, well appropriate the blessing of God that, your spirit is in the area particularly of the leading of the Spirit. So you find believers who are more soul conscious. You find believers who are more body conscious. Reading from our manual, a body conscious believer is more likely going to be a sense governed and sense dominated, believer, which is contrary to how we ought to be and live. Imagine somebody who is sense-governed. It might be difficult for the person to maximize leading of the Spirit. You hear Mommy Helen, like I remember one particular case, is it 2 years ago? There's a particular thing in 2020, a particular issue on Mommy Helen's table that she wants to deliberate on, and I happen to be around. And, everything was set. Then she said, she needed to make a decision on that matter. She said she just decided to weigh it in her spirit. She said, deep down in her spirit, though everything looks right, everything looks set, but deep down in her spirit, she just kept having that thing. She said there was something that was saying, she said it's very small, but she has come to know, Mommy said, that she should not ignore that small thing, that we should leave it. And later on, we found out if we had ventured into it, it would have burnt fingers. Praise God. Now, a person who is not spirit, they are spirit conscious, will not even go back. Sometimes you want to do some things, your spirit can just, you are not even checking it, but your spirit is just trying to tell you, I'm here, this thing is not okay, I'm here. That's obviously your spirit is giving you a red light. But in some other case, it's also good. You just check it. Maybe you need to make a decision, you understand? You just weigh it, just carry it on your spirit. With growth, you should be able to do that. We're just weighing it. Like I'll hear that the Eguchukwu, the issue of Benue, for example. We go to Benue now for word and prayer meeting. But when that somebody called from Macedonia, which is Benue now, that we should come over. And we told that the Eguchukwu, he said we should let him, give him time. He said he wants to weigh it in his spirit. So every time we come back and say, Daddy, the mama is still asking that, how about, she said, I'm weighing it with my spirit. I'm checking it. I'm just weighing it. I want to feel, to make sure it's the right thing to do. Now, with growth, we should be. When a person is spirit conscious, You understand? You'll be able to tell things. For some people, it's just body conscious, which ought not to be. It doesn't mean you will numb your body because you even can't. But it means though your body is there, you place premium on the feelings in your spirit. You know, the atmosphere in your spirit, the knowing in your spirit, the nudging in your spirit, the restraint in your spirit, the joy in your spirit, the faith, those things, they are indicators of whether you should do something or you shouldn't do something. Let's say amen. God's servant, Reverend Kenneth E. Higgins, sorry we keep making reference to him. He said there was a particular time in his life. He went 10 whole years and he didn't know if he had a body. When I hear some of those things, I always feel like, possible. He said he went for 10 years. He said he didn't know if he had a body. You know, how many of you feel it's possible? We will get there. 10 years. He said another one. He said when he prays, he said even when he prays, he said if he prays for 3 hours, he said no thought comes to his mind. You know, when I heard that, you know, you just pause the message and take a stroll. Take a stroll, then later you come back and play. He said when he prays, he hears that people say, you know, when they are praying, thoughts come to their mind. He said it doesn't happen to him. He said he can pray for 3 hours. He said no single thought comes to his mind. Then he now added, he said it comes by discipline. He said it's because of many years of walk with God that got him there. He said when he says it's time to pray, nothing, no thoughts, maybe I need to go do Bible school. If a thought comes, is the Spirit of God inspiring it or from his spirit? No thought. I thought of it. It is when I am praying that thought comes. That is said, especially when you're praying in tongues. I remember one of my pastors back in university, you know, pastor, I've forgotten his name, he's a Ghanaian pastor. He said, anytime you feel there are things you need to remember, that's the way he said it. You understand? Anytime you feel there are things you need to remember, he said, just start praying. He said, because Satan does not like you to pray. He said, that time you start praying, you will just be remembering it. He said, just put a sheet of paper. He said, you will remember. Satan will remind you by himself. Just say, I want to pray for 2 hours. Salimaya, Jabarana. You remind you. A demon will just come. You never clean the boot of the car. Write it down. Yala mashele mokozala mayeta leba rakata ta 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 ta. You never off the gas. He wants you to stop to go and do it. He said, but just take a paper and write it. He will remind you. That's that pastor. He's the one that said it. I am just saying what he said. Let's say amen. We will get there. So, talking about some believers are soul conscious. Soul conscious believers are likely to be more emotionally governed. Conscience governed. You know, somebody has weak conscience. Yeah? And because of that, you know, just is quick condemnation. Even when the word wants to purge the conscience to correct it, they will not give attention to the word. You understand? So, you understand, before you know, you know, like you find some people, let me give one example. You know, once one of our brother used to say, you understand, he quotes someone, he said, a sister, anytime she wears earring, back then, her body will be scratching her. Because what she has been taught is that earring comes from Mami Water Kingdom. You understand? So anytime she wears it, she will be scratching. So she now feels it is the earring that is making that. No, it's our conscience. Because there is nothing wrong with the earring. Am I saying the truth, sisters? Sisters are not answering. Praise God. So some believers can be conscience governed. Our conscience should weigh us, particularly when it has been purged. It should be an instrument of weighing, judging. But when it hasn't been purged, you should not let it govern you, particularly when the word of God. He said, if you understand, we sin. You understand? He said, you know, in 1 John chapter 3, you understand? You know, that's how he puts it. You understand? You know, if our conscience condemns us, God is greater than our conscience. Meaning we should allow the God who by his word determines the parameter of judgment. Let's say amen.
Then find, you know, why some people, they are will governed. They have self-will. Their will is stronger. Their will takes a higher place than the leading of the spirit or the feeling in their recreated human spirit. Let's say amen. Below are a few things that can help correct the imbalance where and when it does exist. We've talked about some things, you understand, you know, that could be ditches, pitfalls that we need to watch for. Below are some, things that can help correct imbalance where and when it does exist. Giving attention to listening and reading the Word of God. Let's say amen. Giving attention to listening and reading recommended Christian materials by ministers who are great, graced, anointed, and sent to teach the work that the Lord has wrought in our spirit. You understand? We're talking about being spirit conscious. You know, if you know, why we talk about new creation realities, you never hear our parents condemn it. What they condemn is the excess around it. If you ask many people who are doing well in the word of righteousness, they all read Kenyon. The in him realities, who we are in Christ. So it's to get ministers who are balanced. And one person who's balanced, who taught it very, very well, balanced, is Reverend Kenneth E. Hagin of blessed memory. You know, when you read his, you understand, growing up spiritually, he gave a lot of balance. While he talks about the things that God has done in your spirit, he also helps you to know that there is a need for you to grow. So when, you know, part of what can correct that imbalance in the soul of, you know, for any person who has the issue of not being properly spirit conscious is, you know, anointed teachings, you know, of God's word about who we are in our spirit. Let's say amen. Staying on the word of God, we should and ought to give attention to reading and studying the word. That way our minds, hearts, emotions, will, and conscience would be reconfigured to both see and react according to God's word. And we know God's word puts our spirit first. Let's say amen. That when in UK convention, that the UK had to give, you know, counsel. And he told them, he said for some of them, they should go get audio Bible and play it. You understand? Big convention, but still that kind of instruction came. He said, some people, you need to just play it. Let Bible play. You understand? Whatever it is you are doing, you're frying plantain. You understand? You're driving. Let God's word play. Some would eat the platform of your heart. Of course, you might be distracted a little here and there. But definitely, it will be different than, you know, you just being totally outside of the word. So it's good. Daddy said, it will fill your atmosphere. Let's say amen. Praying with tongues. Tell somebody, pray with tongues. If a believer does more and more of bodily exercise, it strengthens the body and makes it strong and healthy, and this is encouraged. The same thing goes with soul or intellectual exercise. It enhances the soul's capabilities. But what most believers are failing to do is to exercise or build up the spirit or spiritual energy, Jude 20, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. When we pray with our spirit in tongues, our spirit is brought to the fore, above and over the soul and body, thereby enhancing our ability to hear the Lord. Let's say amen. Now, this can never be overemphasized. You know, I don't think there's a level of growth a person will get to as a believer that you say you don't pray in tongues. You understand? You know, when you pray in tongues, you actually allow your spirit to gain. Kenneth Hagin will say you allow your spirit to gain the ascendancy. It's inside. But the more you pray in tongues, when you pray in tongues, your soul, your body is involved. It's your spirit praying, but it passes through the, you know, channel of your soul and your body, and you are talking. And the more you talk, you know, it's the domineering. If you can pray 2 hours, 3 hours, you'll be amazed how certain things that seem to be difficult for you, spiritually speaking, will become more common. Let's say amen. Amen. So make a commitment today to praying in tongues. You can make a daily commitment to praying in tongues. You can make, maybe you have your lunch break is 1.5 hours. You can take 30 minutes out of that to pray with tongues. Just pray.
pray. For some of us, driving times is tongue time, unless you have somebody else in the car. You understand? Just pray, pray. You know, you're strolling down the street, you're taking a walk. Just pray. If you're not listening to a message, pray. It's good. You pray, your spirit gains ascendancy. Let's say amen. Other things to keenly give attention to along this line. Keenly prove every second party or third party leading towards and concerning your life. Let's say amen. You are to do this by what you find in your own spirit. This is said because we as men can and do make mistakes. When we prove, we are not proving the Holy Ghost because he is infallible. Let's say amen. But when we prove, we are in love and in humility, proving what was said through human vessels to us, to be sure it's the Lord. Let's say amen. Meaning we should be good. Somebody comes to you and tells you, the Lord said this. You understand? You don't have to look at the person and be like, you know, I don't believe it. No. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma. But you go and weigh it. If it lines up with what you have in your spirit. And if it doesn't line up, you can leave it at that level. Sometimes it might be the Lord speaking, but you don't have the capacity to discern it. And because you can't discern it, if it's not your pastor, you understand, that, you know, said it to you, if it's somebody else altogether, just be safe to put it aside. If it is your pastor, let's say you're a young pastor, you know, and you seem not to be convinced, then talk to daddy, talk to mommy. I've had people, you know, over and over, they come to me and they tell me, I'm very good with that, you know, it's like this, it's like that. I just tell them, if I feel, most times I don't even give my own opinion. I'll send people to daddy and tell them, whatever daddy tells you, come back and tell me. How many of you can bear witness to that in the church? I'll say, whatever he tells you, because I want to learn out of it. So go and see daddy. Because at the end of the day, I am careful not to mislead any person. People will come with issues. I'll tell Gookie, go and tell Mommy Ellen if it's something that has to do with EGFM. Or go and tell Daddy Gookie. Whatever he tells you, I want to hear. People in love see some of them, because, you know, we are all one. Let's say amen. They come, they bring issues. I'll say, go and tell Pastor Thompson. Or tell Mommy Dupe. I say, whatever he tells you, I want to hear. Because I believe I learn from, you understand. So if you get, you understand, it may be a counsel and it's not resonating with your spirit. Maybe a counsel is not resonating with your spirit. Go talk to Daddy Eguchuku. You'd be stupid if something is not resonating with your spirit. I gave you, then you run with it. The Shepherdic grace over the house, you know, is absolute for accuracy. I know daddy normally will say we are pastoring with him and, you know, we are sharing in his grace. But I believe there are certain things we can't conclude on in the spirit of humility and meekness. Let's say amen. Learn and form the habit of submitting leadings that come to you personally and the ones others see or hear from God for you to the pastor of your own local assembly and those spiritually older than you. This is good and safe. Let's say amen. Amen. You know, I'm punching lines. You know, I'm a nice guy. But I'm just saying things that I know would be of help. I'm saying things that daddy might never say. Pastor TJ will say things like this also. Just like I see with daddy, sometimes I discover daddy Oyegoke will not say some things. Then daddy Eguchuku will come and say it. Because if daddy Oyegoke says it, it will look like, oh. You get it? So I'm saying it. Because at the end of the day, you know, so as to make sure we are tight. And we arrive where the Lord would have us be. Let's say amen. So submit your leading to your pastor. We have many pastors, you understand? You know, and me, people bring issues that are sensitive, you understand? I mean, things that are not sensitive, go ahead. We won't kill pastor, you understand? You know, you want to buy a car, unless it is sensitive. If not, buy your car. There was a time wherein if you want to buy a car, everybody has to get to pastor. But check our number. People are literally buying car almost every week. Last week, after you left, somebody came and said they want to pray over their car. You understand? I said, no, daddy has gone. Next week, you pray over the car. Daddy will come and pray over the car. You understand? Somebody will say, pray over the car now. Let daddy pray over the car. Would you like daddy to pray over your own car? From the top. It doesn't cost daddy anything. Even if he's just passing in Jesus' name, it's better. Let's say amen. Praise God. Don't try to work out leading by yourself. Rather, obey God concerning leading. Whichever way he instructs you, obey him. But don't try working out leading. It can get you into trouble. I feel we should leave it there. Say, don't try working out leading. Whatever it is the Lord tells you, leave it. If the Lord shows you that Sister Chibundu, you understand, you saw it in a vision, would be your wife. Or the Lord shows you that Brother Lekon would be your husband. Don't try now going to around Brother Lekon, you understand, just specially. You're always going around Brother Lekon. Because the Lord, you, so you just look at Lekon, brother. What did you eat last night? You just confused Brother Lekon. Maybe what Brother Lekon is seeing in the vision is that there is one devil that is coming around him. And the Lord needed to correct that vision until he sees that he's an angel. Then you showed up at the wrong time. Then he will conclude you to be the devil. Devil is sending to him. Praise God. So whatever the Lord shows you, just leave it. Pretend like if it's not there. Anytime the Lord tells us things, the best attitude we should have is just grow. Sometimes the way to bring God's word or vision or impression or whatever he says to you to pass is that you need to grow into it. So just concern yourself with growing up. Say, growing up. Growing up. Hallelujah.
We appreciate Pastor Tokwe, please. Thank you so much, sir. That is some work. Oh. Let's say God bless you, sir. We are learning from you. We are learning from you. Amen. I trust we've all been blessed by this series, and we are being blessed, as the aim is from our daddy. The aim is to help all of us have that ability to hear from God. Everybody say, hear from God. You know, God is interested in speaking to you more than you are interested in hearing, because he knows that there's no progress you will make away from your troubles. When I say your troubles, I mean the enemy, outside of leading. Leading is geared towards saving your soul. And when I say saving your soul, I mean in every ramification, from who you will marry to how you sit on the throne. The Lord is interested in all those aspects. And he knows that if you cannot do any of those things by agidi, sorry, by willful energy, I will get it right now. It doesn't work. If any progress or any victory you have is because of leading, that should sink. So the importance of leading cannot be overemphasized in your life. If you've made any progress, if you've had any victory, mercy found you for you to follow through leading, either objectively or they just pressed you into it, if sometimes against your will. Let's say amen. Pastor, thank you so much. It was so roundly taught. Just to put some more examples around, so one or two things that were said. The first one is this issue of dreams. I remember somebody recently came to tell me, I know. Pastor, I know God leads me through dreams. I know. And the way she was looking at me, don't say anything against my dreams. I had to be a pastor under my pastor. I said, of course, yes, I know. That means you are very... Because I remember Mommy Helen taught us, do you remember one of the reasons why I believe Mommy Helen? No, when Mommy Helen talks to us about dreams, you know, more often than not, you hear from Mommy Helen, because I can hear it. But I say, hey, but Mommy Helen talks about dreams. And Mommy always says, yes, I can tell you quite authoritatively, that's not every dream that Mommy Helen dreamed that she told you. And it was the ones that bore witness with her spirit. You come and tell you every dream she dreamt. Yes, of course, mommy is a mommy. She's a human being. She will dream some dreams that are utterly irrelevant. And also, if mommy can, how much more you? You know, and Bible says dreams are a product of multitude of business. You know, you do plenty business, you will dream dreams. Yeah, dreams are a product of a multitude of business. If you labor in not eating, I discovered anytime I do not eat before I sleep, I will eat in my dream. But the beautiful thing about it, I discover, is that it's always our daddy, Reverend K, that's giving me food. I would just be in one kind convention, and daddy would just say, and depending on how hungry I am, sometimes I'll eat it. Sometimes when I'm about to eat, I wake up. That once they pay me. But that is multitude of business. The business of hunger caused a dream. Now, that is not to say, as Pastor so accurately said and is well taught, that yes, the Lord can lead you through dreams. He can. But it's good to know. Tell your neighbor, it's good to know As Daddy said, that place is open season, open country. Anybody and everybody can visit you in dreams. Your idols come to you in your dreams. Your fears come to you in your dreams. Your hopes, your ambitions come to you in your dreams. The Spirit of the Lord comes to you in your dreams. Angels come to you in your dreams. Somebody say demons. Say demons. Demons come to you in your dreams. Open season. Open. Everybody. In your dream. How you will purify it. Now, one of the reasons why mommy's zone are so profound, because mommy listens, mommy dream, I want to say dream, mommy interprets her dream with her spirit. You know, and a good place to start for you that dream, sometimes you dream a dream and it causes fear. You are so afraid. But just one or two scriptures, you know that thing doesn't align with scripture. Please throw it away. Ah, pastor, you know what I dreamt last night? That I woke up in the middle of the night, and as I woke up, I was just ascending. And I just saw two wings spring out of me. And somebody said, I have initiated you. I said, pastor, I've been initiated. According to Proverbs chapter what? Maybe those books you don't read. Okay, according to Nahum, I don't need to be under the influence of the anointing. You know, that is not in Nahum. It's not anywhere in the Bible. So that when dreams come, don't allow somebody to trouble your waters just because you have prized dreams more than important. There, look, as long as you don't have any witness in your spirit that you were initiated. And I say that laughing. Because your spirit will never... You have the Holy Ghost in you. I mean, I'm just... That's a joke. That's a joke. Yeah, Holy Ghost, you see, as Pastor said, it's because we don't spend too much time on the word. That's why we can be confused about those things. So, please take dreams with a pinch of salt. Even if you dream anything and it's accurate, please, it is subject to witness. If your spirit's not bearing witness with that dream, no matter how well arranged it is, malaria can arrange dreams well too, I've discovered. It can arrange dreams very well. Sometimes. Sometimes just watch the whole movie. And you just check your spirit. You know, sometimes I have this. Sometimes you dream a dream and you want to remember it. You wake up, you come for it. Say, help me remember. You don't have to remember. Because Lord doesn't need that to lead you. If you got inner witness, he can just a prompting. Don't do that or do this. It doesn't have to go through the channel of dream. So please, as beautifully taught as well, that dreams are a way, but it is open season. It's not safe. Let's say amen. And the other one that came to my heart is the issue of fleas. I don't know why it came, but... You know, leading is subject, the way, as Pastor taught, the way and manner which the Lord wants to lead us is up to the Lord, because he is the one leading. You know, when they say somebody is leading you, it means he's ahead of you. You cannot determine how you will be led. So the issue of, you know, I remember many years ago, I wanted to marry a particular daughter of the Lord. And she wasn't born. So I wanted to marry this daughter of the Lord. And I was so convinced. Well, no, that's a lie. I was convinced it wasn't the Lord. But I wanted to persuade the Lord to change his mind. So I remember standing in front of my office and I said, Lord, if she's not the one, sincerely, let the next cap that passes be red. How many of us know a red car passed? But I checked here. Let's do it again. Okay, Lord. Thank you for that. I said, if she's not the one, please, let no car pass for the next 30 seconds. Busy road. How many of us know cars stop for 30 seconds? You see, there are so many unsafe ways. Now, that's why I started by saying, you, the issue about leading is to cause you to arrive in a place. The Lord is very intentional about leading you. And he's leading you to himself. So all this training is for you to be able to hear him accurately. So when he says, don't use fleece. Fleece is another example of open season. This world belongs to the devil. This present cosmos, cars. How many of us know that God is not the inventor of cars? Left to God, you will not need a car. But because of our fall, we fell to the point where we had to arrange man and put ourselves inside and pride ourselves in it and start it. So you cannot, don't bring God into that zone of things. God is higher than those things. Now, if a Lord to tell you, don't use fleece, don't use dreams, don't you? It is because those things are still very much under the control of the enemy. But you see, your sealed human spirit
is the safest place. Because Satan has no say there. Now, but so what Satan did to all of us, which we have to now learn to outgrow, he made us not trust that voice. So the reason why you are learning, you must learn to trust that voice. Learn to trust it. Now, you tell your neighbor, learn to trust it. God is more intentional about leading you than you are intentional about being led. You are like a child. All of us are like children. Children want to do what they want. A responsible parent will take that child and lead the child. Don't do this, do that. And the Lord is, how much more the Lord? The Lord is very deliberate. But so he arranges that there's a very surefire way. Listen to Papa Hagen, you will know. There's a very surefire way that if you listen to your spirit, and you listen to your spirit, you will not make mistake. Now, it's possible. It's possible. Subject to all the parameters that have been taught. So please, let's place premium on this subject. It is evergreen. You will use it from the time you die milk to the time you're through. Because one of the things, which is the last thing I'm going to talk about, is the place of you being more conscious of your spiritual senses. You know, the Bible, Pastor T, was one of the pitfalls, or one of the solutions, rather, that to the pitfall, if you read in reverse, is for us to be spirit conscious. Now, to be spirit conscious doesn't mean, you know, you are, they say somebody's spirit conscious. He's looking for spirits everywhere. No, it means to be more aware of your spirit state than every other of your states. You know, you have three states. Now, perhaps I also read about you being body-led. If you are body-led, an example came to my head. If you are body-led, everything in response to how you feel in your body. I don't feel well, so I'm not going to do it. I don't feel this, I'm going to do it. I don't feel that. Everything is based on how your body feels. It doesn't make me happy. I know that the world has tended towards that now. You are taught to cut off from people who do not make you feel good. You know, go where you're celebrated, not where you're tolerated. Those kind of statements are training you to be body-led. Then the one that's a little bit more dicey is soul-led. Where you are willful, you know. The next one is be willful. My body doesn't matter how I'm feeling. My body doesn't necessarily mean you're listening to your spirit. You can be listening to your soul. Because it takes a lot of maturity for you to discern between soul and spirit. Because soul behaves like spirit if you are not trained. That's why you have to have your senses exercised. Have your soul senses are your spiritual senses. They must come to the fore. And one of the best ways they come to the fore is what Pastor I described. Speaking in tongues. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Staying on the word. You bring your spirit senses to the fore. Because they are soul senses. Oh. Somebody say will. You can will yourself. You can run on human will for decades. It's just that it will not land you. It's because it's not the leading of the spirit. It will not land you on the throne. But you can do many things in this present life with your will. Even God is very much, very much, very much mindful of the wills of people. So one of the reasons why you must master inner witness, because inner witness is not your will, it is your spirit talking. When you hear that voice, you'll be able to discern between that and your will. I think it takes a little bit of growing up. That's why you must grow up. The Bible says the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than two-edged sword. It says piercing into divine asunder of soul and spirit. Why must it divide between soul and spirit? Because it takes the word of God. Somebody say word of God. It must dwell in you richly for you to discern between soul and spirit. Sometimes your soul talks. If you're not well trained. And if you're a willful person, your soul can drive you. They tell us, you know, and that's one of the reasons why God told us in this study, and of course we've heard before, that we must never, never know, never determine how you be led. I want God to lead me through spectacular. It's your will talking. It's not your spirit. You just want it to be in this manner. Most of the time, because the old man wants to use that aspect of spirituality to shine. I just had a four-hour vision. And I saw the Lord. And right on his right hand was Michael. Gabriel was there. And I asked, what's the name of that new angel they saw? Now, the enemy is capitalizing on that. You see, that desire to be led spectacularly. It's not coming from your spirit. But it sounds spiritual, doesn't it? I want the Lord to lead me in this meeting through tongues and interpretation. It did not come from your spirit. It didn't come from your spirit. It came from your soul. The knowledge base of your soul that it knows some things about spiritual. You know, the soul can use spiritual things to make itself feel cool. So the Lord has determined how he will lead you is in his own volition. All those things are parameters for safety. Because one of the things that must be redeemed, one of the parts of us that must really redeem, which we know by reason of being under the teachings we have been for all these years, is that our soul is not yet completely saved. When you say it's not completely saved, it means darkness is still there. And that darkness has its intentions. And sometimes it wants to use those spiritual energies to further complicate. You know, people that are falling into error, it's not because their spirit was deceived. They didn't listen. If you are, especially if you are born again, or they shouted down the voice of the Spirit by their soul. So we must trust the Lord to be not so led. No, I just popped up. Don't be so, really so led, you know. And that's why we are taught, one of the reasons why they tell you not to be willful, you know, to be easily entreated. It's training your soul not to be too strong. So strong, I know what I want, and I can get it. I know this is how I want. This is how I am. That's how I'm going to be. You are not God. Even God is ever unfolding. So the issue of leading, one of the things it will not, and I believe that's one reason why the Lord left it to himself. Some ways we want to be led, we will never be led that way. I have never seen an angel in my life. At one point I wanted to see one. And then I think I've outgrown that to some. But sometimes, some of us, you know, you hear Pastor T talk. I mean, he says, Pastor T says, I saw an angel. But after a while, thank God for Pastor AY in my life. He said, oh, you see angel, don't see angel. Like, let me shall be changing. No, but Pastor, shall be changing. I'm changing. I said, what? Well, I pray for me, Jerry. He said, if I see angel, I don't see angel. Hey, to you, my own language, you don't want help. Let me shall be changing. Loving my wife more, submitting to authority. Hey, if I don't see, I don't see. I said, well, I buy you a bottle of malt. Thank you for that. But you can be like, wow. You know, do you know who is saying wow? Ask who is saying wow. It's your soul. It's not your spirit. Because your spirit knows what you need to do per time to grow. And he knows that, guy, you don't need this thing. And so I said, no. I need to have a spiritual CV. CV. Into, I saw angel. Pastor T saw angel. I'm following Pastor T, so I told him I see angel. If I don't see angel, God is being partial. You remember our daddy has shared the story of Prayer Kenny Copeland that said, I want to see Jesus too. As you are, as Papa Hagen has, my father has seen Jesus. So he saw Jesus for you. All that Jesus told him, go and do likewise. Because God is not us about show. So in place of leading, please, let's trust God to develop confidence, as it were, I use that word carefully, in the inner witness, which I'm sure we'll learn more about in days come. So that we can all grow all these other aspects of us that still need to be saved. You see, our spirit is saved. Our soul is being saved. Our body will be saved. Let that soul, that, as Daddy Yoko called it, that vagabond, that troublesome area boy, let it not hijack what is going on in our spirit that's supposed to come from our spirit to our soul and begin to complicate matters. All those desires you have for leading spectacular, leading outside the prescribed, or even waiting for the Lord are things just in your soul. And you cannot grow them. Let's say amen. 3 says, don't try to work out leading by yourself. Let's say amen. I close it down, not 2 minutes. Don't work to work out leading. You know, so I believe that also comes from a place of, can we trust that the Lord has our back? You know, can you trust that the Lord has your back? Tell your neighbor, the Lord has your back. You are not, they've not left your life to go anyhow. You know, sometimes you feel, and I know, you will grow to a point where you hear statements like our pastor, dear pastor, Pastor Ty, says all those fearful statements. Can you trust God when you can't trace him? And then you're thinking you are there. You may not be there yet. It is a season, but can you trust that even in those seasons, God has your back? There's no aspect of your life that God left. Because if he leaves it, there's somebody willing to take over. You know, while I was sitting there, and just to close, it's good for us to remember that we are inside hostile, we are behind enemy lines. We are in hostile territory. And our commander-in-chief is not wicked. He has not left us without help. So he knows that if he doesn't intervene, somebody else is already there. We are like surrounded by zombies. Watch zombie film. Don't watch it. But if you have, remember that one you watched, which you should not have watched. I'm just surrounded by zombies. Anywhere, zombies everywhere. That's the world we live in. Surrounded by enemies. So the Lord cannot leave your life to chance. He can't. So you don't need to work out leading for yourself. Just let your ears be open to hear him. And the Lord will strengthen us all in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
By the new and living way.
We trust you have been blessed by this message. For more inquiries, please visit www.nlwc.church or call 0909-054-2599. You can also contact us by WhatsApp on 0803-688-4759. God bless you.
Oh, by the new and living way, consecrated Father.